Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Paula and Emma, for your ministry and music. If I was 14 and I could sing like that, good for you. Congratulations, that's great. The Lord will do great things through you. Well, good morning, everyone. It's been an interesting week for the Brown family. Before I get into that, let's do that first, and then we'll do the verse, and then we'll get into scripture. I want to stop and thank the maintenance team and the staff to help us move. It's amazing how much stuff you have until you have to put it in boxes and then put it into a truck and move it. And so the maintenance team and the pastoral staff came down and they helped us move along with some other folks. And they took a huge move that I was thinking would take 6 hours, and they got it done in an hour and a half. And then they came up and they put the stuff that wouldn't fit in the truck into the pickup trucks, and they drove ahead of us. And they, by the time they got there, they had all the pickup trucks unloaded. And then I came with the moving truck, and they had the moving truck unloaded and everything into the house in 45 minutes. And then we went out for lunch, and I figured after lunch, my job was to put all the mirrors and all the beds back together and try to get the right piece to the right piece. And I look behind me, and here come the maintenance staff to help put all the beds together. And so what a great blessing they were, and I want to publicly thank them for all the work they did for us. It was really fun because each guy went with one of the girls, and you could hear the girls in the room going, "I'd like that there." "Okay," and they just went and put it there. "And what else do you want?" "I'd like that there." "Okay," and they put that there. And I said, "Girls, don't get used to that." So thanks to those guys for all the hard work they did. It was a brutally hot day, and they gave their love with a sincere heart, so I want to thank them for that. All right, hey, let's stand on our feet one more time. We're going to say our verse of the week. If you want to get your cards, they're out in the foyer, and you can pick them up after the service. Let's go the reference, the verse, and then the reference. 1 John chapter 3, 21 and 22. "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what he pleases." 1 John 3, 21 and 22. Thanks, you may be seated. Well, this week we're going to start a new series. We're going to go on the first missionary journey with Paul. So each time you come on a Sunday morning, you can take and find Acts chapter 13, 14, or 15, and Pastor Jerry and I will be teaching that throughout the next 6 to 8 weeks. So this morning we're going to be in Acts chapter 12. So if you want to get your Bibles, we're going to set the context for Paul's first missionary journey, Acts chapter 12, starting in verse 20 through 25. Acts chapter 12 in verses 20 through 25. As you turn there, I want to show you two pictures. I'm hoping you'll give me some feedback and you'll be able to talk a little bit with me this morning. I want to show you a picture, and I want you to tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. Are you with me? Okay, good. One of you is. Good. This will work out well. All right. What do you see? Happy. Yeah, someone said happy. If it was me, I said it too. Happy, delightful, engaged, pleasant, joyful, exuberant, all those fun words. If I were to sit down at the table and I'd show you the second picture, what would be the word or the adjective that would come to you? Angry, upset, frustrated, irritable. You might even say road rage. You might say other things like that. You see, the contrast between two is the kind person, the loving person, and the angry person or the vengeful person. This morning, we're going to start on this road with Paul and his first missionary journey, but we need to understand and know who Herod is. Now, remember the last time I was here and I spoke to you? Good. No one else did. That's why I love the third service. You guys are awesome. Okay, do me a favor. Don't tell the second service or the first service I said that. Okay? All right. Well, if you remember the last time I was here, and most of you don't, and that's okay, we talked about Herod, and he went and killed James the apostle. And then he went and tried to put Peter in prison, and then the church was praying unbelieving prayers, and Peter was miraculously escaped from prison. So that context of Acts chapter 12, if you look at verse 19, take a break, and 3 months later, Acts chapter 12, verse 20 happened. So 3 months after Peter's miraculous escape from prison is when this story occurs. If you don't know much about Herod, Herod was an evil man. He comes from a long line of people that are very angry and very harsh and very evil. So he has a context about him. He has a persona about him that he is an evil man. That's going to come in importance in a couple of minutes. So let's go ahead. Let's look at God's word, Acts chapter 12, verse 20. Now he, being the king Herod, he was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. Why? Scripture doesn't tell us. We don't know why he was angry. The important thing is to know he was angry. And when a person like Herod gets angry, you can read Acts chapter 12 and know what he is capable of doing. He killed James just because it was fun and because it boosted his popularity. He did it to Peter because he wanted more popularity. Who knows why he was treating the people of Tyre and Sidon poorly? All that we know is that he was doing it. And he had a group of people come to him from Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him. And they didn't go just to the king because they were scared of the king. They went to this guy, his name was Blastus. Blastus was the king's chamberlain, his chief of staff, his secretary of state, his secretary of the treasury, some government official that was there that had the ear of the king Herod, but they didn't come to Herod directly because they were scared of him. Why were they scared of him? Because Herod was an evil, evil man. So they went to Blastus and they're trying to plead their case. Why? Because look at what the rest of verse 20 says. Herod was withholding their food. They relied on King Herod to feed them. For some reason, Herod stopped feeding them. So they bring all these people and they're coming to Herod and they're begging him, please release the food. We need food. So they come to him and they're begging. Really what they're coming to him with is they're coming to him with money. They're coming to him with financial gifts to soften Herod to allow that food to come back to the people. Verse 20, if you're taking notes, you want to write desperation. There is a desperate need for the people here. And desperate people will do anything they have to do to get what they need. Think about that. Write that in there. Desperation. These people are hungry. They're coming to Herod. They're bringing all the money they have to be able to get the food. So Blastus says, on a certain day, on the appointed day, we're going to have Herod come out, and he's going to put on his royal attire. He's going to come dressed to the T. He's going to come dressed to the hill. He's going to come in the finest of the finest, and he's going to come out. Commentators, they say that there was silver that was lined into his robe, and there was gold that was sewn into his robe, so that when he would walk and the sun would hit him, he would glitter. And he would glow and he would have this great ambiance of a presence. That's the type of man that Herod is and was. So they came on a certain day. He would put on this royal apparel. He would come into the amphitheater, and you all would be the people of Tyre and Sidon, and he would sit on the throne in the place of honor, and he would come across in this robe that was swaying, and it was beautiful, and it was glittery, and everyone would sit and look at Herod. What do you hear about Herod? Very self-absorbed man, all about self. So he came and he sat on this throne and he began to speak to the people. He addressed the people and he told them what they wanted to hear or what he wanted them to hear. Now, don't forget, what's verse 20 tell us? There's a desperate people in a very desperate situation. So what are they going to say? The people are going to say in one voice, there is the voice of God. He's not a mortal man. He is God. Notice what Herod does not do. Herod doesn't stand up from his chair and say, hold on a second, time out. I'm just a mortal man. Don't worship me. I'm only here by God's grace. What does Herod do? Herod says, oh, stop. Stop. Let me get up and move around. Oh, there comes a voice of God. And Herod has set himself up for worship. Herod has set himself up so that everyone will come and tell him how great he is. The question I have for you this morning after these couple verses is, am I seeking the approval of people? You see, Herod comes in dressed in all the right ways to get the worship of the people because he wants people to like him. Unfortunately for the people of Tyre and Sidon, he's withheld their food. Now they're bringing money. Now they're bringing their gifts. Now they're bringing their praise, saying, wonderful are you, Herod. And you would say to me, I would never do that. But sometimes what we do, friends, is that we do certain things. We act a certain way so that people will like me. If I do this, will you like me? If I say that, will you like me? Will you be my friend? Will you continue to be with me even if I do this? And sometimes what we do is we lose our focus and our perspective of the cross of Christ, and we become more engaged with what people like or don't like about us. And so the first question I have for you this morning is, are you seeking the approval of people more than the approval of God? Here comes Herod sitting here saying, worship me, worship me. I want your approval. Now, what's the scripture say? Verse 21, it's going to start to change. I'm sorry, 23. And immediately, you know the Greek word for immediately? You know what that means? Immediately. Okay, not 5 days later, not a week later, not a year later. Bam! Right there, Herod is sitting in the throne, receiving the praise, honor, and glory that is due to God. And immediately, the angel of the Lord struck him. Struck him. Why? Why would God's angel come and strike him? Look at what it says. Because Herod did not give God the glory. Herod sat on his throne in the middle of the amphitheater with his robe full of all earthly glory and praise. And he's sitting there saying, worship me. And God says, that is wrong. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory is reserved for me and me alone. And Herod sat on his throne saying, you come and praise, you come and honor, you come and glorify me, a mortal man. And God said, that is enough. So immediately, the angel struck Herod. Now, if you're gross, like get grossed out by like medical stuff, you need to tune out for the next minute and a half. Okay, if you don't like Dr. Pimple Popper, you might want to just tune out for the next minute and a half. If you like that, lean in. This is going to get interesting. If you want more details, because I'm not going to share it all, you come and see me. I'll get you a copy of my commentary, and it's a fascinating read. I love the medical field. Okay, it's just me, that's who I am. Love it. All right, so here we go. There was a first century commentator, his name was Josephus. He was a commentator and scholar. He writes about this. He says, what happened to Herod was that he had a cyst in his stomach. And it was a cyst that consisted of, and that was a fun thing to say, a cyst that consisted of a tapeworm or a cousin of a tapeworm. And at that moment, that cyst burst. And that tapeworm was leaked into his stomach and intestine. Ew. But when I read this, I saw immediately the angel of the Lord struck him dead and he died immediately of a heart attack. That's not what Josephus tells us. It tells us that that tapeworm took 5 days to eat him from the inside out. That is gross. Some of you, that is fascinating. Don't miss that detail in what's going on. Herod's sitting in the middle of the amphitheater on his throne in his glory, receiving the praise. Oh, Herod, you're so wonderful. Wonderful are you. That praise is to God and God alone. And all of a sudden, here comes Herod. And for the next 5 days, Herod dies a slow, painful, agonizing death. Why? Because he took the glory from God. And he said, I am better than God. I need to be worshiped. The question I have for you, does my life bring honor and glory to God? Your actions, your words, your behavior, your thoughts, your speech, all of that, does that bring honor and glory to God? Because you and I, as believers, as followers of Christ, my life is to be a mirror for what God is doing through me. I should not be receiving the praise. I should be quick to say, praise the Lord. God, you received the glory. You receive the honor. You are worthy of it because you are the one that has saved me. This life is not about me. It's about bringing honor and glory to God. So this morning, as you sit and evaluate your life, as the Lord works and tugs on your heart, is your life bringing honor and glory to God? Well, if you're following in your Bible, the next verse starts with one of my favorite words, but. So step back with me. All right, we looked at all the details. Look at what's going on. There's oppression. There's destruction. There's devastation. There's desperation happening among and around Herod. But now Herod has been inflicted by this cyst that has burst, and he's in agonizing pain. All of these bad things are happening in and around God's people. But look at what verse 24 says. But, there's a contrast coming. But the word of the Lord continued to grow and be multiplied. Among all this devastation, among all this heartache, among all this unknowing, remember there's a famine in the land. All those tough times, here comes the power of God's word. I want you to underline that. I want you to circle that. I want you to highlight that. Verse 24, but the word of the Lord continued to grow. Friends, this morning, I want you to leave here knowing you cannot stop what God has started. Whatever's going on in life around you, among you, beside you, beneath you, leave here comforted and knowing that you cannot stop what God has started. You know Herod. Your homework this afternoon is to go back and read how he tried to stop the gospel from being spread. But you cannot stop the word of God. And it continued to go out, it continued to grow, and it continued to multiply. People were coming to the place that they knew they needed a Savior. People were coming and growing in their relationship with Christ. You cannot stop what God has started. Allow that truth to minister in and through your life today. But the word of God continued to be multiplied and growing. We're going to meet two guys, Barnabas. You know Barnabas. You know him as the son of encouragement. He's going out and he's with Saul. Well, we know Saul, he wrote half the New Testament. Awesome preacher. He's going out and they are on ministry. They are returning from Jerusalem. I want you to make a cross reference note to Acts chapter 11, verse 20. Acts chapter 11, verse 20 tells us that there is a famine going on in Jerusalem. So they're going there and they're ministering to the people. Now we can go past this and miss it, but I want to camp here for a minute to make sure we understand what is going on in Jerusalem. There is a need. What is the need? There's a famine. So Barnabas and Saul, they go to Jerusalem and they're ministering with their hands because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You want to begin to reach out to people? You meet a physical need so that you can speak a spiritual truth into their life. Barnabas and Saul, they're in Jerusalem. They're taking food to meet the physical need of people. Well, if I give you food, what am I going to do? Well, especially me, I'm going to talk to you. How are you doing? How's life going? What do we know about Barnabas? He's the son of encouragement. He's encouraging the people. Saul is talking about the word of God, how people are growing in their faith, how they're continuing to grow in their knowledge, how people are coming to saving faith. People that are in desperation, they're now having their physical needs met. Guess what? They're also very excited because they're hearing that the word of God is what? Powerful, and it's growing. So they're receiving their physical needs, they're receiving their spiritual needs, they're having a physical presence of people on the ground. People are praying with them, they're encouraging them, they're helping them with their mental places of struggle. They're meeting them physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. What a great opportunity for us to pause and remember that when we want to go with the gospel, we sometimes need to meet a physical need to be able to meet a spiritual need or a God need in their life. So Barnabas and Saul, they return from Jerusalem because they had fulfilled their mission. If you're familiar with the Old New Testament, Saul is one of the greatest speakers and preachers and writers. But Saul was not so focused on, I have to go do this. Saul was focused on staying there and making sure that his ministry was finished in Jerusalem before he left. And sometimes what happens in our life is we get started in a ministry and we get into it and we go, oh, there's something new and exciting. And we leave that first ministry before it's finished. Saul and Barnabas, what did Scripture say? They stayed in Jerusalem until they fulfilled their mission. They were there until God said, it is done. And then what happened? They took John Mark. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. They take John Mark, who is younger in the faith, who doesn't really know how to do ministry. Sometimes you think ministry is this great, wonderful thing, and it is. But it's very simple. You go out and you meet someone, they have a need, you help meet that need, and then you bring them to Scripture and talk about the need, ultimate need, that Jesus can meet. Because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So Barnabas and Saul, they're meeting the needs of the people, but then they've got this young guy, John Mark, and they're bringing him in, and they're saying, John Mark, this is how you do ministry. This is how you continue to encourage people in their walk with Christ. Don't miss what they're doing. They're so focused on the mission of the people, but they don't forget the people that are the mission. They look at John Mark and say, come on alongside me. Let me teach you. Let me mentor you. Let me disciple you. Let me encourage you as you understand what it means to be a person walking with Christ. As I look out, I don't know barely any of you. But one thing I do know is that this church has people that are solid in their faith, that have grown up in the faith, that know the truths of God's word. I would ask you, who are you mentoring? If you're Barnabas or Saul, who's your John Mark? Who are you helping understand Scripture and helping them walk through times of desperation because you know that God's word won't return void? Who are you speaking truth into today, tomorrow, or the next day? So Saul and Barnabas, they take John Mark and they're coming back. What do you think they're doing with John Mark? They're debriefing. They're talking about ministry. They're talking about how God's word continues to change and stir lives. The question I have for you this morning from this passage is, am I living on mission for Jesus? Saul and Barnabas, they were laser focused in making sure that they were on mission for Jesus, and they did not lose perspective. Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we lose focus. Sometimes we lose perspective. But I want to encourage us, call us back to what has God called you to do? It's been great. I mean, you see the set of Vacation Bible School. We were very focused on reaching kids this week. You saw Pastor Pencil on the video. He's in Florida right now finishing up his message, ministering to the folks in Florida. They are finishing their mission well. How about you? What has God called you to? And are you living on mission for Jesus? Because sometimes we can lose perspective, we can lose focus. All right, let's step back, take the 30,000 foot view for a second. Look at the first part of the passage. It was all about Herod. Herod was very self-centered, very self-focused, very self-oriented. It's all about him. And then you come on this side, the second part of the passage, you see Barnabas and Saul and John Mark. The exact opposite of Herod, living on mission for Jesus, making sure that the gospel goes out to the whole world. Not living a self-focused life, but Barnabas and Saul are living a God-centered life. For you this morning, which one are you like? In the privacy of your own heart, in the quietness of this moment, do you lean more towards Herod being self-focused, or do you lean more towards Barnabas and Saul being God-centered and God-focused? What a great challenge for us from God's word this morning. Would you bow with me in prayer as I close our time in prayer? As you get used to me and as you get to know me, one thing I love to do is I love to pray for people. I'm not going to call you out. I don't know your name. But one thing I do want to do is I want to pray for you if God has been working and stirring in your heart this morning. So I'm not going to call you out, but just slip up your hand if you'd say, hey, would you pray for me? Is there anybody here this morning that says, would you pray for me, Tom, because I am living my life seeking the approval of people. I need to live my life seeking the approval of God. Is there anybody here I pray for this morning? I see the hand. I see two hands. Thank you so much. Is there anybody here this morning that say, would you pray for me because I want my life to bring honor and glory to God and God alone? Would you pray for me? See that one hand. Thank you. Two, three, four. Praise God. Five hands up. Is there anybody here who says, would you pray for me, Tom, because I want to be laser focused on the mission of Jesus. Pray that I do not become distracted by the things of the world, but stay on mission for Jesus. One hand, I see that hand. Thank you. Two, three, four. Praise God. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. I'm thankful for the truth that it brings. I'm thankful for the comfort it can bring us that amidst all the pain and the chaos and the destruction and the devastation, you cannot stop what God has started. Lord, that ministry can happen to us this morning. That comfort can happen to us. I pray for us this morning. For those in whose hearts you have stirred, their desire is that they would be seeking your approval and not the approval of people. God, I pray that you might help us to be seeking your glory and your honor. I pray that we would live lives that bring honor and glory to you. Lord, help us to be people that are on mission, that we always stay focused on what you have called us to. And Lord, help us to live a God-centered life. And Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that does not understand the victory that we have, may they seek us out so that they can begin that relationship with Jesus this morning. We do love you, Jesus. We honor and glorify you this morning. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. That was a great message, wasn't it? Amen. I've had the privilege of hearing it three times today. So, Pastor, maybe some of it will sink in. I need it for sure. Let me give you those again. Am I seeking the approval of man? Does my life bring glory and honor to God? Am I living on mission for Jesus, and am I living a God-centered life? Food for thought, isn't it? For sure. Just a couple of quick things. If you are a guest today and you had time to fill out a guest card, if you would just place that in the wooden box on your way out through the center door, we'd appreciate it, or give it to Pastor Tom or myself. We'll be hanging around after the service, and one of our other staff, Pastor Adam, is back there as well. Also, I did want to mention that Pastor Gary asked if anyone's available tomorrow morning around 8, 9 o'clock, everything you see for VBS has to come down. And if you have an hour or 2 hours or 30 minutes, whatever you have, if you'd like to help us out, I know that would mean a lot to him. And also, he wanted me to give a shout out this week to Rusty Boone. He was very involved with VBS as far as doing a lot of the writing of what the people did. And so we just wanted to thank him so much for all that he did. Paula, if you want to head out back, you want to go out back now, you and Emma and anybody else, Rob, I don't know if you want to head back, anybody that wants to head back. And if you would like to, she has product in the back, I believe in the foyer. And if you would like to purchase some of her music or just go by to see her, I know she would appreciate that very much as well. Okay, I don't want to miss anything else. I think I have all the announcements. Well, let's all stand together for a word of prayer. Thank you so much for coming today. We love you, and we are so glad that you worshiped with us. And we trust that you were challenged and blessed. And next week, we will begin chapter number 13. So if you'd like to do some homework this week, we'll be in verses 1 through 12, 1 through 13, starting next week as we begin the first missionary trip of the Apostle Paul. And it will be very, very good. So if you'd like to read that, please do. Would you pray with me? Father, go with us today. Thank you, thank you, thank you for loving us. We thank you for this message. I pray, God, that we would apply these principles to our lives and do self-introspection, and that, God, that we would seek to honor you more than we would to seek and honor men. Bless us this week. Use us for your glory. And, Lord, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.